Tonight's scripture reading is taken from the book of James, chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. James 3, 13 through 18. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace.
Thank you, John. Wisdom from above. When Solomon became a king of Judah and Israel, God appeared to him in his dream, and he asked what Solomon would like. Solomon asked God to help him rule his people wisely because he said that he's not but a little child. He doesn't know when to come in or to go out. God was pleased with him because instead of asking for a long life or elimination of enemies or for wealth, Solomon made a selfless request. The origin of Solomon's wisdom. God said to him, because you have asked this thing, and I have not asked for yourself a long life, nor have asked riches for yourself, nor have you asked for the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself, your self-discernment to understand justice. Behold, I have done according to your words. Behold, I have given you a wise and discerning heart, so that there has been no one like you before you, nor shall one like you arise after you. The very next day, Solomon offered the burnt offerings and made peace offerings, because apparently he appreciated God's appearing in his dream, and he loved God. All of a sudden, his docket involved two harlots. These two women had both recently given birth to sons, and they lived together in the same home. During the night, one of the infants was smothered and died. The woman whose son had died twisted her dead baby with the baby of the other woman as she slept. The other woman, seeking justice, took the matter before the king. She stated her case. There was no stranger with us in the house, only the two of us in the house. This woman's son died in the night because she lay on it. So she arose in the middle of the night and took my son from beside me while your maidservant slept, and laid him in her bosom and laid her dead son in my bosom. When I arose in the morning to nurse my son, behold, he was dead. But when I looked at him carefully in the morning, behold, he was not my son, whom I had born. Solomon could not tell from their words which woman was telling the truth. Instead, he gave a shocking command, "Bring me a sword." So they brought the sword before the king. The king said, "Divide the living child in two, and give half to the one and half to the other." Then the woman whose child was the living one spoke to the king, for she was deeply stirred over her son, and said, "Oh, my lord, give her the living child, and by no means kill him. But the other said, he shall be neither mine nor yours. Divide him. Then the king said, give the first woman the living child, and by no means kill him. She is his mother. When all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had handed down, they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to administer justice. Later on, the Bible made several references to Solomon's wisdom. He had become a foremost world-class expert, or a, what you call it, go-to man. Now, God gave Solomon wisdom and very great discernment and breadth of mind, like the sand that is on the seashore. Solomon's wisdom surpasses the wisdom of all the sons of Egypt and all the wisdom of Egypt. For he was wiser than all men, than Ethan the Israelite, Heman, Calcol, and Dodo, the son of Mahol. And his fame was known in all the surrounding nations. He also spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his sons were 1,005. He spoke of trees from the cedar that is in Lebanon, even to the hyssop that grows on the wall. He spoke also of animals and birds and creeping things and fish. Men came from all peoples to hear the wisdom of Solomon. From all the kings of the earth, we had heard of his wisdom. Solomon also gave advice to his sons on getting wisdom. He said, the beginning of wisdom is acquire wisdom, and with all your acquiring, get understanding. Prize her, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a garland of grace. She will present you with a crown of beauty. So, this is great must-have in our life. But exactly what is wisdom? And how is that different from the knowledge? Wisdom and knowledge, both appearing many times in the Bible, are related, but not interchangeable. The dictionary defines wisdom as the ability to discern or to judge what is true, right, or lasting. Knowledge, on the other hand, is information gained through experience, reasoning, or acquaintance. Knowledge can exist without wisdom, but not the other way around. One can be knowledgeable without being wise. Knowledge is knowing how to use a sword. Wisdom is knowing when to use it and when to keep it sheathed. Knowledge is knowing how to use the word of God. Wisdom is knowing when to use it and keep the mouth shut. Knowledge is what is gathered over time through the study of scriptures. It can be said that wisdom, in turn, acts properly upon that knowledge. Wisdom is the fitting application of knowledge. Knowledge understands the light turns red. Wisdom applies the brake. Knowledge sees the quicksand. Wisdom walks around it. Wisdom isn't simply intelligence or knowledge or even understanding. It is the ability to use these to think and act in such a way that common sense prevails and choices are beneficial and productive. Here's a picture of it. Knowledge not knowing a tomato. Knowledge knowing a tomato is fruit. Wisdom is not putting in a fruit salad. The Old Testament has several books described as books of wisdom. You have Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon. Now, let's turn our attention to the New Testament. The New Testament Book of Wisdom. The letter of James has been called the New Testament Book of Wisdom by many because it contains wisdom for the Christian practical living. James saw the value of wisdom, so he wrote, "But if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him." James 1:5. When Solomon became king of Israel, he could have asked God for many things, but what did he ask for? Solomon asked for wisdom, and God answered that prayer. His wisdom increased immensely that many that heard of him came to seek his wisdom. And later on, Lord Jesus said, "The queen of the south will rise up with the men of this generation at the judgment and condemn them, because she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon." Luke 11:31. James understood that it is a good thing to pray for and to ask God for wisdom. James asked the question, "Who is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds and his gentleness wisdom." James 3:13. There is a vast, polarizing difference between earthly wisdom, James 3:15, and heavenly wisdom, as he writes, "But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceful, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruit, unwavering, without hypocrisy." James 3:17. In the first chapter of James, the writer of this epistle gave some guidance regarding the ideal life as it is developed through many trials which come upon us. He then went on to show how we may obtain divine help if the trials become too great for us to bear successfully. He said, "But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him." This is the wisdom from above. However, James 1:6 says, "But he must ask in faith without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like a surf to sea, driven and tossed by the wind." If we do our best to gain the knowledge we need, that is, so if faith comes from hearing and hearing by the word of Christ, then we can go to God in prayer for the wisdom which will give us confidence to meet any situation. Someone has said that we all pass the three stages in our intellectual growth. There is an early period when we think that we know everything, and the next period when we seem to know a little, and then a last period in which, through much sorrow and disappointment, we have gained sufficient knowledge to understand something of ourselves and of our surroundings. But when we are thrust upon to meet the tough trials of life, we are often terrified at our lack of wisdom to use our knowledge efficiently. Many people do not like changes. I don't like changes. So, in order to make deal with changes, pray to God for wisdom. So it is then that we need wisdom from above. And James tells us to ask God for it. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. We have to say that James is the very practical of all the writers of the New Testament, and that he strongly suggested here may be regarded as an appeal to the self-respect of his readers. It is one thing for a person to claim to have wisdom and understanding, but quite another to be able to demonstrate that, in fact, in actual living. James has shown previously something like that. Like causes produce like results. For example, James 2:18 says, "But some may well say, 'You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I will show you my faith by my works.'" And now James insists that the same principle is true with reference to wisdom and understanding. If one really has them, his life will be an example of humility, which is born of true wisdom. But if you have a bitter jealousy and selfish dimension in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. It has been pointed out in several places that jealousy is used in the New Testament in both a good and a bad sense. It's used in a particular place will have to be determined by the context. In the instant now before us, jealousy is connected with faction, and therefore it shows that it is used in a bad sense. Inasmuch as the heart is the source of speech, for example, Jesus said in Matthew 12:34, "You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart." The condition of the heart will determine the nature of the speech. If there is jealousy and faction in the heart, then the speech which proceeds from it cannot be pleasing to God. The expression jealousy and faction implies that such brethren were striving against each other, instead of endeavoring to keep the unity of spirit in the bond of peace, Ephesians 4:3. Rivalry among brethren is never acceptable to God. And if that condition exists and they boast their service to him, they are only lying against the truth. That is, they are acting a lie, since they are in opposition to the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but it's earthly, natural, demonic. We learn from James 1:5 that God gives wisdom to those who need it to help them overcome temptation, so they can lead an ideal life And we are further told in James 1:17 that every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of light, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. All such wisdom, therefore, is in harmony with God and His revealed will. But a wisdom which is characterized by jealousy and faction did not come from Him. For God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. 1 Corinthians 14:33. That kind of wisdom, earthly, that is, human as opposed to heavenly. As for natural, Romans 8:6-8 says, for the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the spirit is life and peace, because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Demonic? Well, it came from hell instead of from above. This should be a powerful warning to those brethren who strive against each other. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. This is the fruit of wisdom, which is characterized by jealousy and faction. And it never fails to reveal its true nature. The term disorder suggests confusion or unruliness, such as might be found in general insurrection or tumultuous anarchy. Paul one time had a problem with this. He said, for I am afraid that perhaps when I come, I may find you to be not what I wish, and may be found by you to be not what you wish, that perhaps there will be strife, jealousy, angry tempers, disputes, slanders, gossip, arrogance, disturbances. 2 Corinthians 12:20. The word evil is the opposite of good, and the idea is that such wisdom leads to conditions which are contrary to God's will. For everyone who does evil hates the light, and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. John 3:20. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruit, unwavering, without hypocrisy. The term first emphasizes the essential nature of this wisdom. This is straightforward, because if this wisdom were not pure, it would be impossible for it to have the following distinguishing mark. The term pure suggests the non-contamination or not having pollution of any kind. The constant of even the best people is that they live close to the line which separates good from evil. They attempt to keep the garments free from dark and ugly stains, but they fail to remember that the saved in the city of God will be clothed in robes of the purest white. Peace. The religion of Christ is peaceable in the truest sense of that word, and He expects His people to strive for the peace which passes all understanding. This is not a peace at any price. or a peace based upon a faulty foundation. It is a peace which comes from doing that which God commands. Therefore, the wisdom which comes from above is characterized by peace, and those who have it are peaceable men. It is possible for a person to ascertain whether or not the wisdom he has comes from God by asking a few simple questions. Does it make me contentious and aggressive? When I try to get someone to receive the truth with that person regardless of the suspicion, can I control myself and make my would-be convert feel that he has a deep interest in welfare and that he dreads bitterness and ill temper as much as he dreads the power of error itself? Do I teach or do I fight? The word gentle carries with it the idea of forbearance or making allowance for others. It is better to look to the lawgiver and not to the law, to look to the spirit and not to the letter, to the intention and to the intention and not to the action, to the whole and not to the part, to the personal character in the long run and not in the present moment, to remember good rather than evil, to wish to settle a matter by words rather than by deeds, to prefer arbitration to judgment. Our whole object should be to win one to a better life rather than simply to condemn. The wisdom from above is reasonable or approachable. It describes a temper which is object of self-will, self-exertion, and obstinacy. The person possessing this wisdom is one who can be reasoned with, the one who is willing to listen to the views of others. If there is an estrangement between him and someone else, he is the kind of a person who would give the other party a chance to try to heal the breach. He will not manifest the "I am right, you are wrong" attitude. He may, indeed he should, feel that he is right, but he will recognize that there is another side to the controversy. The term mercy has two aspects: the relieving of suffering and the forgiveness of wrongs. It is to have compassion and pity. Jesus said in Matthew 5:7, "Blessed are the merciful, they shall receive mercy." And James writes in 2:13 that for judgment will be merciless to one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. The man with wisdom from on high is a merciful man, and he has the good deeds with the fruit to demonstrate that fact. The parable of the Good Samaritan is a good read on mercy. Matthew 25:4 makes a good summary on mercy shown to our brothers and sisters in Christ. The king will answer and say to them, "Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me." A man who is unwavering has certain principles by which his life is guided. This man is guided by divine wisdom, so He can see or observe human affairs from a divine perspective. He should not be influenced by the attraction of self-interest or by the prevailing opinion. He judges men today as he judged them yesterday, unless he has learned new facts about them which required him to change his judgment. He does not favor the rich nor despise the poor. He maintains that true consistency would come from his devotion to God. To be without hypocrisy is to be free from untruthfulness. A hypocrite is the one who pretends to be that which he is not, and hypocrisy is the outcome of his action. The wisdom which is earthly may often make a man a hypocrite. It may lead him to flatter those whom he disapproves, to acknowledge interest in certain ideas for which he has no conviction, to affect generosity and public spirit when he is seeking only personal gain. The man having the wisdom which comes from above always takes God into account. And to him, hypocrisy is impossible. In verse 18, and the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Peacemakers not only endeavor to reconcile those who are estranged, but they also cultivate peace. The fruit of righteousness is continually being sown in peace for such people. Peace and righteousness belong together, and they are the result of that wisdom which is from above. Just as confusion and every evil thing are the result of wisdom which come from the evil one. So the course of the Christian is clear, and his reward is unmistakable. So, what kind of wisdom would you like? If earthly, then you need to make no effort. As a matter of fact, you can look back to the lesson I just presented, make changes to it how you feel like it, and just do what the world tells you, and just do what it feels right. Go with the flow. If you want a wisdom from above, then we must be diligent to seek such wisdom from God so that we can show our good behavior, our deeds, and the gentleness of wisdom. This wisdom necessitates our joyfully obeying the commands of the gospel. We can see that seeking after or condoning the wisdom that is not from God separates us from God. But God offers a remedy which is the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. If you find yourself in a dire situation because of following the wisdom that is not from above, make a decision to give yourself to God and clothe yourself with Jesus Christ in baptism and have your sins washed away. Peter said to them, repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sin. and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself. On the other hand, if you are a Christian that needs prayers of this congregation, we stand ready to help you to come back to God. Let us know by your coming down to the front as we stand and sing.